أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وما والاه وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. إن شاء الله, without wasting much of our time, today is 13th of September 2020. We're back to our class in Shadow Ummah WhatsApp group. Irshad al-Ummah WhatsApp group. We're going to continue our lessons on Al-Ajrumiyya or Al-Nahwu wal-Arabiyya. In our previous class, we stopped at Al-Dhamair. We talked about pronouns, Al-Dhamair. We gave us the types of pronoun we have. I gave us the الضمائر المتكلم, which is the first person pronoun, the ضمائر المخاطب, which are the second person pronouns, the ضمائر الغائب, which are the third person pronouns. And I give us an assignment on that, just to further, I give us an assignment on what we have done before on fi'il, just to further re-emphasize and bring our head to the fact that we are not leaving the fi'il, but we are just trying to bring something in that is going to help us to explain better what we are doing in fi'il. Now, haven't talked about the dhamair. Today, our last class, I gave you the meanings of those dhamair. And then, inshallah, today, I'm going to explain explicitly. I'm going to explain it much more broader in a way that it will be much more understood this time. So, you already know the meanings of those dhamair, and it is much expected that you memorize those meanings. Today, what we're going to do is to give you the different kinds of this Al-Dhamair, these pronouns, Al-Dhamair pronouns, Al-Dhamir, one pronoun. Pronouns in Arabic, Al-Dhamair, tanqasimu ila qismain, asasiyain. Pronouns in Arabic is subdivided into two main parts. Yes, they are divided into two main parts, and the other second part is subdivided into two. The first two primary division of pronouns is الضمائر المنفصلة, or you say الضمير المنفصل. I'm using the singular and plural. If you want to use singular, you say الضمير المنفصل. If you want to use plural, you say الضمائر المنفصلة, المنفصلة too. Now, this is the first kind. What we mean by الضمائر المنفصلة are those pronouns that cannot be joined with any other thing, or they are pronouns that cannot join a verb in terms of structure. When we're talking about they cannot be joined, we don't mean that they cannot enter into a sentence. But what we are talking about is you cannot write them and join them with a verb in terms of structure. You understand what we're talking about once we start to give examples. If we say, for example, Doroba, he beats. And I want to say, Umar beats him. Umar beats him. You see that beat now? Is an action. Umar is a noun, which is the doer. The him there is a predicate. That is the sufferer of the action. And then it is a pronoun. Okay, now, but if we go by the example, we say Omar will be the subject. That is, he's the one that did the action. That we'll call it subject in English. Daraba, which is the beating, is the object. Because it's the work done. That is the object. Then him is now the predicate. The predicate is the receiver of the action. The receiver of the action is the predicate. Okay. In Arabic, when you want to put it, since you know him, and I told you him in Arabic, or he is huwa. According to the domair I gave you, is huwa. And you bring huwa forth. You want to now put huwa into daraba Umar. He said daraba Umaru. Umaru huwa. When you say this sentence, you are totally wrong. This is a grammatical error. You don't say daraba Umaru huwa, because huwa is not a kind of pronoun that you are expected to use here, because it is a dhamirul munfasil, a stand-alone pronoun that cannot join this daraba. On the normal circumstances in Arabic, the pronoun was supposed to be joined with the verb, then the name comes after. You can also bring the name, which is the Umar, to come first, then immediately after the verb, the pronoun would be joined with it. So in a nutshell, what we're going to say here, we will say darabahu Umaru. Darabahu Umar. So now, correct. So since we say darabahu Umar, Umar beat him. Past tense. Since we say darabahu Umar, you will discover that in the daraba we added how to it. The addition of waw there signifies that there is someone we're talking about. And that how means him. It's another form of pronoun representing huwa. So this is how we do it. So now you see how represent huwa. Daraba hu Umar. If it's a female, we say darabaha. Darabaha Umar. Umar beat her. So you see the her there is the her. So that is what we're going to be teaching you today. I would give you the table of everything that it needs, and then you would digest it. Though I would give you the complete table, and then we'll take it one after the other. I told you it is of two kinds. And then it's subdivided. The second one is also subdivided into two parts. So that's two that are subdivided into two parts. We are going to take one out of it, because the first one, which is Abdomairul Munfasila, that I just explained now, you already understand it. The only thing I want you to understand here is that there is no way you can put it to act as the object, as the predicate of a sentence. It can never act as a predicate of a sentence. It can only act as a subject. It can only come as the doer of the verb. And when it's coming as the doer, a name is no longer coming. A name is no longer coming. And then there are other ones again, which you would use to replace it. You can use other verbs to replace those other pronouns, to replace those same pronouns in terms of usage, when you want to use them for the same subject, that is doer of an action. We would see that. Now, this one I explained, the first one, the ana, nahnu, anta, anti, antuma, antum, antunna, huwa, hiya, huma, hum and hunna that I gave you, they are what we call abdomairu al-munfasila. One of them is called domirum munfasil. Two, you call them domirani munfasilani. Plural, you say ad-dhamairu al-munfasila. We'll get to singular and plural, and then you will understand how to make your singular and plural in Arabic form. Now, the second one is al-dhamairu al-muttasila. Al-dhamairu al-muttasila. Or you see al-dhamiru al-muttasil for singular. Now, this muttasil, what do you mean by muttasil? الضمير المتصل الاتصال from the word اتصال. اتصال means to join or to connect something, to make something to go into another one, to become one. So that is what we call الاتصال. That is why we use the terminology الاتصال for phone calls, because it's just like a medium of connecting each other through a technology gadget, and then we'll talk to each other when we are far, while we are far from each other. It's just a connection. So we use al-ittisal for making calls also. So mutasil, when we're talking about ittasala, yattasilu, mutasilu, we're talking about connection. So now, what we want to talk about ad-dhamairul mutasil. Ad-dhamairul mutasil, they are dhamair, they are pronouns that can be joined. In fact, that must be joined. It's not can be joined. That must be joined with a pronoun, with a verb. Sorry. They are pronouns that must be joined with a verb whenever you want to use them. A good example of dhamair al-mutasila that must be joined is this: how darabahu Umar, that I gave you the who there. It must be joined with daraba. You cannot say daraba Umaru hu. No, you cannot say daraba hu. You cannot say Umaru daraba. Then you now bring how and say who. No, what you do is you join it to daraba. Daraba hu Umar. The same way ha. You cannot say daraba Umaru ha. No, you say daraba ha Umar. You will see the way I put them in writing. So it's very, very simple. Just grab it. Now, it is very much, it has a lot of like, what I mean is every of the pronouns has its match up on the table. So once you see the table, you would understand how to match them in. Now, in the first one we are going to take, the first aspect we are going to take in the ad-dhamairul muttasila. Don't forget, I just told you ad-dhamairul muttasila is divided into two parts. The first one are the pronouns you would use when you want to make a reference to the doer of an action, like you want to use them to replace someone who did an action, and then it will still give meaning. Don't be confused. What I'm trying to say is, for example, as you say darabahu Umar, and you want to replace Umar with a pronoun, because pronouns are nouns. They are words used instead of a noun. They are words used instead of a noun. In this definition, they are also nouns. So you use them instead of a noun. When you now bring a pronoun, there is no need mentioning the name again. So now, first pronoun I'm going to give you, they are the ones you are going to use instead of those dhamairul munfasil in terms of representing them as the doers of an action. What do I mean? For example, I want to say, I ate rice, for example. I ate rice. You say akaltu. Ida orzan. Akaltu orzan, or you say ruzan. They call it ruz. They call it al-urz. They call it al-urz. They call it al-ruz. Anyone you want to call it. But al-urz is the much, much more better. So, akaltu urzan. I ate rice. Now, one you may ask himself, where is the I here? Because I told you I and me is Anna. So where is Anna in this sentence? Mind you, we've come there. There is no need asking me again because I just told you Ad-dhamirul munfasila, the Ad-dhamirs that cannot be joined with a verb. And you, there is no need asking me about akala because I think I gave it as an assignment in our previous class. Okay. Not just an assignment. I don't know if I gave it an assignment, but then I gave it as part of the examples I did for us when I was doing tasrif. I was doing al-af'al, akala ya'kulu, infa'ala yaf'ulu. So I give it. So it means he ate. He ate. Now akala is a verb. Then tadamatu now comes in. Where does this tadamatu comes from? Then that is the question. So if you see this kind of tadamatu here, you don't need to ask yourself. In as much as you know that this is a verb, then this tadamatu is a pronoun. And what pronoun is it? I is representing Anna. The tadamatu is representing Anna. It is well written and represented in your table. You will get the table, inshallah. So this it is very good while you are listening to this class. You look at the table, study it very well. So akal tu, I ate. Instead of saying akala Anna or Anna akala, both are not correct. You cannot say Anna akala or akala Anna. Instead, you say Anna akal tu. And when you say Anna akaltu, it will not be that you've used two pronouns, which would bring about repetition. And you know this is a fault in language. So it's better you just use akaltu, I ate, then urzan, urz is rice. Now, this tadamatu is representing I here. And who ate the food? I was the one that ate the food. So instead of saying Al-Fati ate rice, I cannot be telling you Al-Fati ate rice because I'm talking about myself. So I will say I ate rice. So because of that, I'm using this tadamatu and I am the doer of the action. So those pronouns we are going to be talking about today, they are pronouns that are going to be representing doers of an action. Now, Anna is represented by tadamatu, as you see, in the domain of Mutasi table. Nahnu is represented by na, as you see in the table given to you below. While you are listening to this table, it is very, very good. I just give you this other one for documentation sake. What you need to do is just don't look at them for the meantime, the last one. Just concentrate on looking at the middle one because that is what we are working on. So in our next class, we'll do the last one. So for now, concentrate on the middle one and the first ones, which are the munfasil dhamair. Okay. Now, ana akaltu. Nahnu, we are using akala now. Ana akaltu. Because we have akala plus ta domotu to give us akaltu. Nahnu, we will say nahnu, and we'll bring our akala, which is our nominal verb. Why are we using akala? Because it's our nominal verb, so it's what you continue using. Then we'll bring dina that is there. Putting it together, it will give us akalna. Akalna. Same way you do till the end. Anta. You bring akala or any other verb you want to use. And you bring the tafata ta that is there. It will give you akalta. Akalta. Then anti. You bring the akala, our nominal verb, plus takasra t to give you akalti. Akalti. Antuma. In antuma, you know, we have male and female, we have two opposite gender. In antuma, there is no difference. You say akaltuma. You bring your akala plus tuma. Tuma to give you akaltuma. To give you akaltuma. There is no discrimination here in antuma. Now, antum. You see, you bring your akala plus two to give you akaltum. Akaltum. Antunna. Antunna. You bring your akala plus tunna. It will give you akal tunna. Akal tunna. Huwa. Now, here needs an explanation. If you look at the table again in Huwa, we don't have anything. I just put a dash there. Why did I put a dash there? Because Huwa is our nominal verb. Any verb you're given to be used as an example to every other thing that you are going to be doing, the nominal verb you are going to be given is huwa. That is why we translate Doroba as to beat or he beat. We say to beat or he beat. So it's a nominal verb, and it's also the same thing representing huwa. So akala plus nothing will give you the same akala. So huwa is clear. Any nominal verb you are given is huwa. That is why I just dash it. Now here, we'll translate to here. Here, we take your nominal verb akala plus the ta sukun you have there will give you akalat. This ta sukun of here, we call it ta-litanis. Ta-litanis. Then huma. In huma, you know, we have gender differences, which is male and female. So in huma, it is a kind of subdivided into two parts. Every gender is given their own sign. In huma, we call this one huma muzakkar. Muzakkar is masculine. Muzakkar, masculine. That's why we say min dhakarin wa untha. Either male or female. So dhakar is male. Muzakkar is something masculine. So huma muzakkar. We bring our akala, and then we have our sign there, which is alif, and then putting it together to it will give you akala, akala, huma, akala. Then huma mu'annas. Now, huma mu'annas. Please don't mind my writing, I'm just doing it fast. This jaggers I'm writing, you should actually be, it should be clear to you, because I'm not used to this writing. I'm used to Hotoruka. Hotoruka is a kind of easy, but if I write it, you will not see it. It will look like those doctors writing. So huma mu'annath, we have our akala, our nomina akala, plus jita fata and alif majita that we have to give us akalata. Akalata. ta huma mu'annat akalata. Now we come to our home. In our home, you bring your akala, and then the sign you have there is waw and alif. Putting together to give you akalu. Huma mu'annas akalu. Hum akalu. Then hunna. Hunna, when you bring your akala, for example, which is a nominal verb, plus the nun fatha that you have there, it will give you akalna. Akalna. Hunna akalna. So in a nutshell, let's start it from the beginning again and read. Ana akaltu. Nahnu akalna. Anta akalta. Anti akalti. Antuma mu'dhakkar akaltuma. Antuma mu'annas akaltuma is the same in antuma. Antum akaltum. Antunna akaltunna. Huwa akala is the nominal verb we are using. Is for huwa. It belongs to huwa. Huma mu'dhakkar. Here, akalat, we add our ta at tanis. What we mean by ta at tanis is time of feminine, if we call it feminine ta. Ta that shows a feminine word. Huma muzakkar, we say akala, akala. Huma muzakkar, akala. That is where Allah in Quran says, wa tawfiqa yakhsifani alayhima min waraqil jannah. فبدت لهما سوءاتهما وطفقا يخصفان وطفقا قا that قا ألف so it's a past tense طفقا so أكلا هما مؤنث أكلتا أكلتا that is why Allah said when he was saying وقال لها وللأرض اتيا طوعا أو كرها قالتا أتينا طائعين قالتا أتينا طائعين so أكلت قالتا قالتا is it قالتا that alif that ta fatha ta and that alif mad is what is telling you that the sama wal arda they are not talking about their feminine words. So huma mu'annas, you put ta fatha ta and alif maddi a, you now say akalata, the same qala plus ta fatha ta alif maddi ta qalata. Now hum akalu qalu sallu ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima sallimu Sallu. So waw and alif is what is added. Akalu. Hunna akalna. Just on marinun. Hunna akalna. Now this is what I want to talk to for today. If you sit very well to look at what we've done today, you discover that I just give you an example, an expo on how to make those pronouns to go into verb. Now let's look at some things from what we have done. Number one, during the examples we have been making, you will discover that or you agree with me that we have been using past tense. We have been using what? Past tense. Past tense is what we have been using here. So we are not talking about present tense here. So you shouldn't bring in a present tense and then put in those those pronouns in. It's not allowed. It's a total foul, a grammatical error. You don't bring them in inside the present tense. So when we go back, once we are done with this one, we'll go back to al-fi'l. Then I would give you the signs of now knowing al-fi'l, the signs you will use for al-fi'l mudhari, which is a present or a continuous tense, and then that of fi'l amr, which is for command. So this one, what we have been talking about, is a past tense. That is one. Then number two, you would also discover that I've been talking about those pronouns, and I made emphasis to give you akala plus tadom or two to give you akal two. Akala plus non fatana to give you akalna. Akala plus tafatata to give you akalta. And I did all the examples. This is not to undermine your capacity of understanding. I could have been okay with just the first one alone. Akala plus tadom or two akal two. And then I would just assume you would understand everything by using the table. But I had to do it so as to make sure everything is clear. Look at it very well, closely. Our akala, that is our nominal verb, that lam, that is the last letter, was having fatha. It used to have fatha when it was nominal. But by the addition of that, our pronoun that we are putting, you will discover that it was giving sukun. So that is how it is done. It is giving sukun to enable the word accommodate this one that is coming in. Don't mind the tadom or two that is there. It doesn't mean it's a present tense. No, it's not a present tense. Don't mistake it for a present tense. Those pronouns I gave you, they are pronouns to be memorized. They are not pronouns you can use qiyas to just use analogy to deduct them, to form them. No, they are to be memorized like this as they are. This tadom or two must be tadom or two anyway you're taking it to. And as it's tadom or two there, it means ana. It means I. So it is there like that. This verb is still a past tense. And while you are, that is the second thing. The third thing is, one thing you must still note again is that those pronouns we are putting, they are now addition. They does not form the verb. The verb is already formed in itself. They are now giving extra information. Like, they are telling you who did the action, who ate the food, or who sat down, jealous to, who sat down, I, jealous to Anna. So those pronouns that we are putting in now, they are now adding information to it. It's not like they are making the verb complete. No, the verb is already completed in itself. But then for you to know who now did the action, they are now coming in to tell you who did the action. So in counting, you cannot count them to be part of the letters of the verb. They are pronouns that are attached to the verb. In a nutshell, akal to now, which is a four-letter word, we have two words there, two words, not just one word. We have two good words there. The first one is akala, and then the second one is tadomotu, which is a pronoun. The first one is akala, which is a verb, and the second one is tadomotu, which means ana. The first one is a verb, the second one is a noun. Let this be clear. So please and please, it is very, very much important. In fact, if you're in my class and I'm teaching you physically, not virtually that we're doing, I would make sure you memorize this thing before I go to any other thing again. I won't do anything until you memorize them and I give you like 20 or 50 nominal verbs and you can run them off earth. You run them off head, not just by writing. You can run them off head without making mistakes. Then I give you the other one because it's very, very much important. If you cannot memorize this here, you will be giving me many, many problems as we go further. So please memorize it to ease my work for you. Now, this is what we are going to have for today. A quick assignment should be, okay, now you would use the same logic that we use for those examples to fixing the following verbs. The first verb I'm going to give you is jealousa. So jealousa, what I'm expecting you to do, let me do the first one for you. You will say Anna. Don't come and be giving me plus. Oh, you are not in primary one. Anna. You say equals to jealous to, direct, straight. Jealous to. Nahnu, jealous na. Anta, jealous ta. Anti, just do it like that and be putting them in proper place. So you jealousa, you finish it. Then karuma. Kola. Kola. Then kola would be hard for you. But then I don't know if you can do your own normal ijtihad. Okay, let me quickly explain something about kola. This one would make me to know if you actually listen to the audio clip more than one time. In verbs that have an incomplete letter, we talked about verbs that have an incomplete letter, like nama, he slept, that I gave you when I was giving you fa'ala yaf'ulu, fa'ila yaf'ilu, fa'ala yaf'ulu. I gave you an incomplete verb as an example, and then I told you they are also counted to be in this category of fa'ala yaf'alu or fa'ala yaf'ilu or fa'ala yaf'ulu, depending on how they come. So, and I give you nama, yanamu, and I told you it is fa'ala yaf'alu. Now, in this aspect, when you want to put in those verbs, what you do is you don't bring in the complete three letter. This is the, which is the qaf, the alif, madi, and the lam. No, you don't do that. This alif madi that is incomplete is already, its work is done. You should just go already because it has no relevance here. You don't say call to. No, what you hear now, for example, ana, you say kul to. Ana kul to. So this is an expo. Anta kulta, nahnu kulna. Do it down to the end. The place you now have to bring in this alif again is when you now have another imperfect letter that come in again. If another imperfect letter come, you know half plus half is equals to one. So you will now have to bring it back again. And that is the case of home, where you say qalu. You see it's back, but because half plus half is equals to one. It's in the case of huma too, where you have imperfect letter too, which is alif. You say qala. There is still another one again, so I will not tell you that one. Use your ijtihad to get me that one now. So half plus half is equals to one. That is why the alif come here. But when there is complete letters, it doesn't come out. Now, use karuma, kola. I want to run everything down to the end. And then the fourth verb I'm going to give you is let me not make it complex. Just do these ones. Would talk about the other ones. Do those three. Jalasa, karuma, and qala. Finish up those ones. So aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. We'll meet again in the next class, inshallah. I hope you understand what we are doing. Feel free to ask your questions, and I commend your assignment. A lot of you did well. I think I can say 99.999% of you did well, and I'm happy with the assignment that you submitted. And for those of us that are not participating, based on maybe they feel they are shy, they are not going to get the assignment or any other thing that makes them not to submit, Yes, I'm urging you to make a trial. If you don't make a trial, you don't know whether you know something that you feel you know. So if you make your trial and submit it, you might feel you know it, and then you have a mistake, and I will correct you. So if I didn't send you any correction, it means that your work is 100% perfect. No, 100%. You have 90/100. So that is the highest you can have in my class. Yeah. So now, we stop here. So I hope you find time to listen to the class. I still remain your brother. Tasir Al-Fatih Abdul Qadir. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.